With the July 1st deadline approaching, House and Senate lawmakers voted on legislation to stop a scheduled 10.6% cut in Medicare physician payments. Mary Agnes, can you tell us what happened?
It was an amazing week. Frustrated with what they felt was Senate Democrats' lack of action on the issue, House Democrats moved their own bill to stop the scheduled cut, and they passed it overwhelmingly by a vote of 355-59, which was far more than the support needed to override a promised veto from President Bush. That vote also changed the dynamic in the Senate, with expectations that the broad margin of House passage would put pressure on Senate Republicans who did not support the House Medicare bill to do so. Now, in the Senate, Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus, he's a Democrat of Montana, and the panel's ranking Republican, Charles Grassley of Iowa, continued negotiations on a bill that they had hoped to offer, but ultimately the Senate voted instead on the House version. Senate Democrats, however, failed to get the 60 votes that would have allowed the bill to pass, falling short by just one vote. Senate Republicans then tried to move legislation that would have extended current Medicare physician payment rates for 30 days, reiterating that the White House had threatened to veto the House bill. But Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, he's a Democrat of Nevada, objected, saying that the chamber's focus should be on passing legislation that would provide a longer solution. Many Republicans in the White House objected to provisions in the House bill that they say would inappropriately reduce payments to Medicare Advantage plans and create hurdles to the plan's ability to function in rural areas. The Democrats contend that these plans are overpaid and that reducing those reimbursements is the best way to stop physician payment cuts and make other improvements to Medicare. Reid has promised to bring the bill back again to the Senate floor after the July 4th recess.
What was the reaction?
Well, as you can imagine, physician groups are not happy. In its statement, the American Medical Association said that physicians were outraged that some Senate Republicans voted against the measure. The AMA and other physician groups also said that if the pay cuts go through, it could hurt seniors' access to medical care because physicians won't be able to sustain such a large reduction in their Medicare payment rates.
What happens next?
I suspect that Senate Republicans who voted against the bill will get pressure from their constituents back home, in particular Medicare beneficiaries and the physicians who treat them, to take swift action once Congress is back in session to reverse any pay cuts in Medicare physician payment rates. At that point, Congress could pass legislation to retroactively restore any cuts that were made. And in a statement Friday, Department of Health and Human Services Secretary Michael Leavitt said that HHS would take all steps available under the law to minimize the impact on providers and beneficiaries.
Both the House and Senate have been considering fiscal 2009 spending measures to fund the Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, and other federal agencies. Mary Agnes, what's the state of play there?
The Senate Appropriations Committee passed the measure, which is the largest domestic spending bill, before leaving town for the July 4th break. Health provisions of the Senate bill include about $30 billion for the National Institutes of Health, about $2.2 billion for community health centers, and more than $5.6 billion for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC.
Will the Bush administration support the bill, Mary Agnes?
Doubtful, for two main reasons. The bill's discretionary budget is $7.7 billion more than President Bush requested, and he said he'll veto any spending bill that exceeds his budget request. Another element of the bill that I think will also draw the ire of the president is language that would nullify a directive that the administration issued last August, laying out parameters that states must meet before they could expand their state children's health insurance program, or SCHIP, to enroll children from families earning more than 250% of the federal poverty level.
What's happening in the House with this bill?
The House Appropriations Committee was supposed to consider the measure, but a disagreement broke out on the panel over consideration of another spending bill. The panel's ranking Republican, Jerry Lewis of California, wanted the panel chairman, David Obie of Wisconsin, to promise to have the committee consider the Interior Appropriations Bill when the House returned from the July 4th break. When Obie would not agree, Lewis offered an amendment that would have stripped out the text of the Labor HHS Education Bill and replaced it with the Interior measure. Panel Democrats adjourned rather than considering the Interior bill or the amendments that Republicans were planning to offer dealing with expanded domestic oil production. Maybe the committee will revisit the measure after the July 4th recess, but at this point, that's unclear. Health groups with funding covered by the Labor HHS bill were disappointed that the panel did not approve the measure.
A House panel has approved legislation dealing with healthcare information technology, or health IT. Mary Agnes, could you tell us about that?
The House Energy and Commerce Health Subcommittee adopted the measure by voice vote, although some Republicans said they'd hoped to make some changes to the bill's privacy language before the full committee passed it. Among its provisions, the measure would authorize $575 million over 5 years for grants and loans, in particular, small physician practices and rural providers, to help them purchase health IT systems. The measure would also call for adoption of standards to allow providers across the country to exchange health information about their patients, and it would strengthen current federal privacy protections and expand them to new entities that store electronic health information.
You mentioned some concerns about the privacy provisions in the bill. What are those?
Some Republicans on the panel expressed concern that the provisions might be too stringent. For example, Representative Michael Burgess, a Republican from Texas, and he's also a physician, questioned if the bill would lead to significant changes in the way that health providers operate. Privacy issues remain a concern in health IT bills that are pending in both the House and the Senate, with lawmakers trying to strike the delicate balance between giving patients complete control over their records while giving providers flexibility as well. It's a complicated issue.
Before we end, I'd like to touch base on two other pieces of legislation that were pending before the break. Can you update us on the status of the supplemental spending bill and its provisions governing Medicaid?
Sure. As part of the final legislative push before the recess, the Senate cleared the war supplemental measure, sending it to President Bush's desk. While the bill includes funding for the ongoing wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, it also includes additional spending for domestic programs, including Midwest flood relief and money to rebuild levees destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. A key health care provision in the bill would delay six Medicaid regulations proposed by the administration last week to shift some costs to states. The president is expected to sign the bill.
Can you tell us what happened to the pending global AIDS bill?
A group of Senate Republicans blocked passage of the five-year, $50 billion reauthorization to treat AIDS and other diseases overseas. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, a Democrat of Nevada, tried to adopt a substitute amendment that addressed the concerns of many Republicans who'd held up action on the bill since March, but Senator Jeff Sessions, a Republican from Alabama, objected. Reid said he would try to move the bill once Congress returns.
Thank you for your time, Mary Agnes Carey, for Congressional Quarterly.